Hello, friends. This is Doug Batchelor. How about an amazing fact? Malala Yousafzai, a 15-year-old Pakistani girl, gained international recognition when she boldly wrote and spoke out in support of girls' education, and this in a country where it's still forbidden by the Taliban. Then on October 9th, while Malala was singing with her girlfriends and riding home from school, a Taliban gunman forcefully boarded her school bus and shot Malala in the head and neck at point-blank range, gravely wounding her and two of her friends. Her future looked very bleak. In critical condition, she was flown to England for medical treatment while children around the world prayed for a miracle. Incredibly, 2 months later, she's walking, talking, reading, smiling, and showing no significant signs of brain damage. Yes, God still works miracles and answers prayer. Stay with us, friends. We're going to learn more as Amazing Facts brings you this edition of Bible Answers Live.
Welcome to Bible Answers Live, brought to you by Amazing Facts Ministries. Are you looking for a clear, concise answer to your most challenging Bible questions? Maybe you're struggling to understand difficult passages of Scripture. If so, you've come to the right place. Join us now as we open God's Word to discover His will and find honest, practical answers to your Bible-related questions. This broadcast is pre-recorded. If you have a Bible question, call us Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, let's join our host, author, speaker, and evangelist, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Welcome, listening friends, to Bible Answers Live. And if you're joining us for the first time, this is a live, international, interactive Bible study. And we invite you to call into the program with your Bible questions. We're broadcasting across North America, around the world via the internet, on hundreds of stations. And it's just a big family Bible study. If you'd like to call in with your Bible question, we have lines open right now. And that number is 800-GOD-SAYS. The Bible is our source book. 800-463-7297. One more time. You ready? 800-463-7297. That'll bring your question into our studio. Keep listening. We give out another phone number later for our resources, many of them free. My name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is John Ross. Good evening, listening friends. And Pastor Doug, let's begin the program with a word of prayer. Dear Father, once again, as we study your word, we ask for your leading and guiding. The Bible is your book, and in order for us to correctly understand it, we want the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. So be with those who are listening, wherever they might be, and we pray that you be with us here in the studio. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Pastor Doug, for those who are close to their computers, we just want to let them know that they can also join us live by going to live.amazingfacts.org. That's live.amazingfacts.org. We're streaming the program from the studio, and we'd love you to join us online. You open the program by talking about, well, a miracle, an incredible recovery for this young girl who was shot at point-blank range. I mean, you'd expect her to be dead, and yet not only has she recovered, but as you mentioned, there doesn't seem to be any permanent brain damage.
Yeah, it's just, it's remarkable. I think everyone thought the outlook was pretty hopeless. Mm-hmm. When basically it was an assassination attempt on a 15-year-old girl that was unarmed, and they just... it came right up and shot her twice. And it was some time before they could even get her to England. Several days went by for treatment. And, you know, the prospects looked pretty bleak. But children around the world were praying for this girl who just boldly stood up for a right that any child should have of education. And it really does seem like divine intervention. Mm-hmm. That she not only still has her wits about her, it seems that the bullet kind of ricocheted off the inside of her skull, just didn't do any major damage. She's going to be, you know, in the hospital, probably psychological, just would be the damage when someone tries to do that. But it seemed to me evidence that there was divine angelic protection that sustained her. And, you know, a grown man that's armed boards a bus and tries to kill her, and I think shot two other girls as well. And it made me think that this is another modern example of God does answer prayers. People always say, if there's a God, why do bad things happen? I mean, if God is real, why did he allow her to get shot at all? Mm-hmm. Or you could say, why does anything bad happen to anybody if God is good, why doesn't he just destroy the devil? And really, I think people need to realize this planet has been kidnapped by an enemy, an evil power. There's an arch fiend out there called Satan or the devil. And we've all sinned and the penalty is death. So we really ought to be asking, why does anything good happen? But God is so good and so loving, he's invaded the devil's domain to reclaim and to redeem humans that he loves. And he answers prayer. And Jesus tells us to ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened. You know, the Lord wants us to pray.
You know, I'm reminded of that verse, Pastor Doug, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Mm-hmm. We have an adversary, and prayer is essential if we're going to be victorious over our enemy, the devil.
That's right. And the only way that we can live the Christian life is by being in an attitude of prayer. And the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. And maybe people would like to know more about prayer. You know, I heard someone say one time that if you don't get prayer right, nothing else will go right in your Christian experience. Mm. And it's the foundation, is your relationship with God. And maybe you feel like something's missing, or you've just wondered why your relationship with God seems so thin or it's so sporadic. And the answer might be a real revival in understanding the power of prayer and the necessity of prayer. And I was just daydreaming the other day, and I thought it'd be interesting to sell or create this special watch, and it doesn't tell you the time. It just is an alarm to pray, and it would silently buzz. You know, I hate when phones go off while you're teaching up front or something, but it would just buzz, and it would tell people two or three times a day, pray, and it'd just be a reminder. I mean, it seems so simple. But people forget to pray.
Well, you know, David prayed, not David, Daniel. I'm sure David did too, but Daniel prayed three times a day. And that's a good habit to follow.
David did too, because I think Daniel read where David wrote, I think it's Psalm 55:17, morning, evening, and at noon I will pray.
That's right.
So you're right, they both prayed three times a day. And good idea for us to have, you know, registered times for, you know, serious prayer, but also be throwing up prayers and communion with God all the time. And maybe our listening friends would like to know more. How can they have a revival in their prayer life? We have a free book we'd like to share with them.
The book is entitled Teach Us to Pray, and we'll send that book to you for free if you'd call our resource line. The number is 800-835-6747. And the book is entitled Teach Us to Pray. It's a question that the disciples asked of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Again, the number is 800-835-6747. That is the resource line. You can ask for the book Teach Us to Pray. We're going to go to the phone lines now. We have Craig, who is listening from Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa. Craig, welcome to the program.
Yes, hello, Pastor Doug. Called you many times, of course. Usually I call you and ask just a regular Bible question, but tonight I was hoping to get maybe a little advice, since you do have quite a bit more knowledge than I do, and, you know, in your work and everything. And I attend the same church as you do, same denomination. And in Des Moines, Iowa here. And it's a great church. I mean, it's an okay church. I like going there, and I like the people and everything. But I'm used to a church that I came out of that was non-denominational years ago, and they would have altar calls, for instance. Mm-hmm. And they would go out into the public to win souls. And this church does none of that. And I'm just, it's not that it's upsetting, but I really want to win souls. And I know I can do it on my own. I do try, and I'm working on people now, for instance. But I just don't know what I should do, if I should pray about it, or if that's just the nature of the denomination, or, you know.
Well, I
know.
Hope not. In our church here in Sacramento, I think it's safe to say once or twice a month we do an altar call. And we have members that go out and share literature, and we do evangelistic meetings. And Pastor Ross, you once or twice a year, you do some kind of evangelism at your church.
That's right.
And
perfect. We got some prophecy seminars coming up later on this year. You know, if a church is not involved in reaching out to others, what tends to happen is the church ends up stagnating. And that's even true of the individual member. If we're not involved in sharing our faith, we seem to lose that spark, that first love experience.
Yeah, you need to be giving it away. Mm-hmm. And if you don't give away your joy and your faith, you don't get to keep it. Mm. And so the more that you're giving Bible studies, that's how you remember the scriptures, by sharing it with others. And so it's crucial. And, you know, I can't speak for your church or anyone's particular neighborhood or city, but I would say to anybody, if you want to see a revival in that area, Then you go home and you kneel down and you get a piece of chalk and you draw a circle around you and you say, Lord, start a revival in the circle. And it really has to begin with each individual saying, I can't really make everybody in the church do something, but I can start. And then you can take someone with you and say, hey, let's go out and knock on some doors. Let's go give some Bible studies. Let's, you know, there's a thousand ways to do it. And, but yeah, we've got to all feel that passion to reach the lost. And I'm delighted to hear you ask that question. So often we get these philosophical questions about theology, but really, once you know the gospel, you want to share it with others. And that's crucial. Hey, appreciate that, Craig. And, you know, I'm trying to think of something that we could send him. And,
well, you know, you mentioned witnessing or evangelism is really experiencing God's love and then sharing it with somebody else. We have a book entitled Life in the Spirit that talks about living in the presence of God and allowing the Spirit to work within your heart and life. And we'll send you this book for free if you'd call our resource line. The number is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the book Life in the Spirit. And we do have a few lines that are still open. And if you'd like to call in with your Bible question, the number is 800-463-7297. That's 800-463-7297. Our next caller is TJ, and he's listening from Lincoln, Nebraska. TJ, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you. My question is regarding 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, where Paul basically states that it's good for a man not to touch a woman. I know this is basically dealing with outside of marriage, but what my question sort of dealt with was, how does one sort of, so I'm trying to think of how to word this. Basically, when a guy and a girl first meet, you know, what's appropriate and what's not appropriate in the boyfriend-girlfriend relationship before they get married?
Well, first let me say something about that verse, 1 Corinthians 7:1. There was a question coming to Paul whether it was, if you could be a Christian without getting married. In other words, was it required to have a wife? And one reason they were asking that question in the Corinthian church is they were moving into an era where there was great persecution against Christians. Paul had already been in prison. And someone was asking the question, is it required that every believer needs to get married and procreate? Because, you know, after all, God said, you know, made Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And Paul was saying it's good, and the word good there means it's acceptable, it's permissible for a man not to get married and not to touch a woman. That is permissible. But he goes on to say, you know, to avoid fornication. And Paul, of course, he endorses marriage 100 other times in his writings. But he was answering, I think, a specific question there. And I don't know if I'm answering the second part of your question.
Not quite yet. But second part of my question basically is, biblically in spirit of prophecy, what is like, what is the appropriate interaction between a boyfriend and a girlfriend, you know?
Ah, yes. Well, when it says don't touch a woman there, I don't think that there's any sin involved. If you are courting a girl, if you're, you know, holding hands or you've got your arm around the shoulder, I mean, that's one thing. But I think everybody knows that if a young man that's healthy and a young woman that are healthy get into a situation alone and they start pushing the buttons and activating those switches, they can start processes of human nature that are hard to stop. And so, you know, a lot of the caressing and heavy touching and petting, everyone knows where it leads.
Yeah, I heard that in Spirit of Prophecy where it talks about petting and stuff like that. And after that, I was just like, I want to stay away from that.
Yeah, and you know, one way to stay away from it is don't get off by yourselves where you're going to be tempted to have no witnesses. I mean, it doesn't mean you can't be doing things together, but it's when you get to kind of alone in the dark, you're going to get into trouble. And so you gotta watch out. And I know it seems almost crazy in this day and age where you know, people treat sex like shaking hands, that you would say something so archaic as a young man and a young woman should remain pure until they're married. That's what the whole marriage is supposed to be, is you're reserving that relationship for when you've made that permanent commitment.
Awesome.
Hopefully
Thank
that's,
so
Yeah, hope that helps a little bit. And we do have a lesson, talks about keys to a happy marriage, and talks about some of these other intimate questions. Appreciate that.
For anyone wanting to receive that free study guide entitled Keys to a Happy Marriage, we'll send it to you for free. Just call our resource line. The number is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the study guide Keys to a Happy Marriage, and we'll send that out to anybody who calls and asks for it. Our next call is Alex, and he is listening in Washington. Alex, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Alex,
hi,
in Washington, Doug. You're on the air.
Okay. Hi, Pastor Doug.
Hi, how are you?
For having me. My question, good. And my question is on Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, do you want me to read it or?
You can or I can. Go ahead.
I prefer you, if you could
read
it,
right.
Please.
Hosea 6, 1. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, but he will heal us. He is smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will raise us up, and we will live in his sight. Are you wondering what that verse means?
Yes, is that a prophecy of, as Peter said, 1,000 days is, or 1,000 years as one day, and 1 day as 1,000 years? Is that one way that it's used after Jesus rose? 2 more days, as in 2,000 years, will pass when he will return, and on the third day after 3,000 years, we will have eternal life. Is that what it means?
I don't think that this is a place you would apply that. I think that this is actually a prophecy talking about Jesus would rise the third day, and really the healing for us all and forgiveness all comes because of what happened the third day. Even after Christ died, his enemies remembered that he said, after 3 days, I'll rise. And that's why they had the Roman guard stationed at the tomb. And you frequently find that after 3 days, something significant happens. You can look in the book of Joshua. And it says, after the third day, the spies made it back across the river. And when the Gibeonites pretended that they were from a far country, it says they made a covenant. And after the third day, they found out. All through the Bible, it talks about the third day. There's this revelation. There's this deliverance. And so I think he's referring to that. And it ultimately points to the third day that after his death, Jesus would rise.
Okay.
And that's when we're healed.
All right.
And that which is smitten is bound up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, because it's Paul says, you know, we are crucified with Christ. Yet we rise. And when did Christ rise? After the third day. And it says here, after the third day, he'll raise us up and we'll live in his sight. And so it's just like, I think, a scenario or a symbol of us coming forth with him. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. Or
yeah, I think so, Pastor Doug. Same idea that you're suggesting. That something I did notice here is that it speaks about he was stricken, but he will bind us up. I was reminded of Isaiah 53, mm-hmm. where it speaks about Christ who was stricken. And he bore our sins and
right.
so on. So, again, I think it's relating to Christ and his resurrection.
Good point. Yeah, it's one of those allegorical verses. And after all, Hosea is a prophet, and this is a prophecy. Thanks for your question, Alex.
We have Gary is listening in Texas. Gary, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Evening.
I think it's Hebrews, talks about when a saved person sins, that you go to this person and you tell them about, you know, hey, you have sinned and this is what you've done. If they don't listen to you, you go back with two or three others to bear witness to these words. And if they still don't listen, then the church is to go and talk to them about their sin. If they still don't listen to the church and they continue in their sin, we are to treat them as the heathen and the tax collector. The question
I think
is,
you're talking about Matthew 18, if I'm not mistaken. It's in
okay.
Matthew. But okay. there's another verse in Hebrews but that I think alludes to that, but go ahead.
Okay, but the question is that if we are to treat them as the heathen or the tax collector, does that mean that that person has now become unsaved?
Well, yes, if a person is living in open sin, if they're not, you know, whether it's rebelling against the authority of the church when the church is telling them to repent for something or to make some wrong right, So if they're rejecting that authority, and if they're sinning, whatever the sin is, a known sin, and they're persisting in it, that person cannot claim to be in a saved relationship with Jesus if they're living in rebellion.
Okay.
So you're either, you know, with them or against them, and
right.
You know, a person might go ahead.
So basically, this is, you know, I was always raised to where the one unforgivable sin was the denial of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Now this is not the unforgivable sin, but if a person is rebelling against the church and they're put out of the church, they're not in a saved relationship at that point. Paul talks about one of the members in 1 Corinthians who was. He was having an affair with his stepmother, to be specific, and Paul said that person should be put out of the church, basically put back into the territory of Satan, hopefully to bring him to repentance. And then when you get to 2 Corinthians, Paul says, now, you know, you need to let up on that fella, and maybe his heart's softened now, and he'll come back to the Lord. I'm paraphrasing. So, you know, once a person's put out of the church, and that's what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 18, if they're not going to be reconciled, if they're not going to respect the church authority, then you have no choice but to put them out of fellowship. That, you know, Jesus said that that's a serious condition to be in, but it's not the unpardonable sin. That person can repent and come back.
Okay.
The unpardonable sin is a sin where there is no repentance. There's no forgiveness.
Okay.
Now, I just finished a book on that subject, and it's called Beyond Mercy. What is the unpardonable sin? It's called Beyond Mercy. And if you call our resource number, I think we can send you one of those.
The number to call is 800-835-6747. That is the resource line in the book. Pastor Doug is entitled Beyond Mercy. And we'll be happy to send that to anyone who calls and asks. If you have a Bible-related question, the phone number is 800-463-7297. That is the phone number for the studio, 800-463-7297. We'd love to hear from you tonight.
You know what I think's happening? After Thanksgiving, they have Black Friday, and all these malls stay open late. Friends, usually our phones just completely fill up with Bible questions, and here it is. I'm going, what's going on? Is there a new world war that broke out? I mean, we have relatively few phone calls for this part of the program, and I'm thinking, I know what it is. They're all out shopping.
It's not the Super Bowl tonight, is it?
We even get phone calls during the Super Bowl.
Okay. But
yeah, hey, it's a good time to call in tonight, friends. We'll just confess it's a little thin, but we still have some people lined up.
Next call is Sydney, and he's listening from San Antonio, Texas. Sydney, welcome to the program.
Hi. That's it, Cindy.
Oh, okay, Cindy. Sorry.
No, that's okay. Hi, Doug.
Hi.
My question has to do with the war in heaven.
Uh-huh.
And when Satan was cast down, the time frame, was that before Eden? Was that at the cross? And did he have an opportunity to go back and forth after that, after the war? It's a confusion.
Right. Well, let me do my best to, you know, and we're delving into some of, you know, this is a little mysterious, but I'll share what I think I understand from just a few scriptures. I'll invite Pastor Ross to jump in. Satan, of course, rebelled against God, and there was a war in heaven prior to our world, I think, being created. Satan was roaming through the universe after our world was created. He came to this planet to recruit our family. When Adam and Eve chose to listen to the devil, God then said, all right, whoever you obey, that's whose servants you are. When they listened to the devil instead of God, man became the slave of the devil, and Satan considered this world his headquarters. It became his the beachhead of his war against God. Christ even said Satan is the prince of this world, so even Jesus recognized that to some extent. But then when Christ died on the cross, man's redemption, the provision for his redemption was secure. Satan was cast down in a new sense. He could not now at least access the gates of heaven and represent our world. Is that how you understand it?
Yeah, that's right. Revelation chapter 12 kind of outlines that in verse 7. It speaks about this war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought, and that appears to have taken place sometime before the creation of the earth. But then if you read in verse 10, it says, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. So there is a second casting down of Satan at the cross, where he no longer is the representative of earth. Prior to that, when he was able to deceive Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. he took on the position of being representative of earth. But now Christ, the second Adam, took that away from him. And so there's the second casting down at the cross.
You know, we have, Cindy, a video, and I think you can see it on YouTube now, that you can watch it there probably for free and or ordered from Amazing Facts. It's called Cosmic Conflict. And anybody, if you want to understand where did sin come from, where did the devil come from, this is a 45-minute video that gives the whole story with 3D creations and animation describing the rebellion of Lucifer. It puts all the scriptures together where they make sense about why is there evil in the world, and if God is powerful, then why doesn't he destroy the devil? All this is addressed. It's called Cosmic Conflict. You just type that in and into Google or Yahoo, and you'll find it.
Just want to also mention a study guide that we have.
Yes.
It's entitled, Did God Create the Devil?
Perfect.
And that deals with the subject of rebellion and how Lucifer rebelled against God and how Adam and Eve and the human race got involved in this rebellion. If you call and ask for the study guide, Did God Create a Devil? We'll be able to send that to you. It's one in a series of Bible studies that'll guide you into deeper and fuller understanding of what the Bible has to say.
Yep, hope that helps a little bit. And once again, for anyone that wants to know more about that, you can also just go to that website, Cosmic Conflict, and you'll find a lot more information there on that. You know, we were going to talk about this in just a moment, but we've got we're going to have a break in about 45 seconds. Not very fair to take a call. Don't go away, friends. If you're calling with your Bible questions, we're going to get to you. Just be patient. But I do want to mention that we have a very important upgrade that has recently happened to the Amazing Facts website. They went through and just added all of the most modern technology. I was watching some of the videos last night, and it was amazing to me how sharp they are. Mm-hmm. Now you can, you know, sometimes you have to watch it in a little box or it gets too pixelated. You go full screen and they're crisp and it moves fast. I don't know what the technology is, but and the library to access the publishing and the books and the sermons and the studies, it just seems like it's all sped up and there's so much more there. That's at the main Amazing Facts website. You know, I heard this weekend we get about 250,000 people a month that come to, it was like 90,000 in a week. Hmm. So it's probably even more than that. Anyway, and that's simply amazingfacts.org. You're going to find an awful lot of good study material there and archives of this program as well. You're listening to Bible Answers Live.
Another website we want to let everyone know about, if you, friend, have been listening to the radio program for a while, we've probably mentioned this website before, but it's worth mentioning again. If you have questions about Bible prophecy, we have a website entitled BibleProphecyTruth.com, just BibleProphecyTruth.com, that pretty much covers the key topics related to Bible prophecy. One of the headings here is the Antichrist, 666, Armageddon, seven last plagues, the seven-year tribulation, and much, much more.
Yeah, all the hot buttons that people might want to know about. Some people ask about Babylon, or they want to know about Israel in prophecy. Bible Prophecy Truth has just tons of studies on that material. And there's a special series of lessons you can go through there that'll really change your life. We highly recommend it. Bible Prophecy Truth. We'll be back with more Bible questions. Stay on the line.
Bible Answers Live will return in just a moment. If you're looking for Bible-based materials for further study, sign up for Amazing Facts' free Correspondence Bible Study course or check out our sale catalog featuring hundreds of inspiring books and tapes. To order, call our resource line at 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. Amazing Facts is a faith-based, listener-supported ministry operating exclusively through the generosity of your prayers and financial gifts. We would love to hear from you. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678, or online at amazingfacts.org. You're listening to Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. If you have a Bible-related question, call us now to receive clear, honest answers directly from Scripture. We have a few lines open, so please give us a call. The phone number to the studio is 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 563-7297.
If you've enjoyed Bible Answers Live, you'll love Pastor Doug's Book of Bible Answers. Straight from the broadcast, the very best questions and answers have been compiled as an awesome resource for Bible study and personal evangelism. Each answer has been expanded with more Bible verses and insightful commentary. The Book of Bible Answers can be yours today for just $12. Call now 1-800-835-6747 and request offer 257. That's 1-800-835-6747.
Hey friends, you are back to Bible Answers Live, and we expect some of you have come on board along the way. This is a Bible interactive study program where you can call in with your Bible questions. And that number one more time is 800. This brings you into the studio with your question, 800-463-7297. I guess you don't need me to remind you, it's a free phone call. And my name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is John Ross. Pastor Doug, we're going to go to the phone lines. Our first caller for the second half is Risen, and he is listening from New Mexico. Risen or Risen, welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening, Pastor Doug and Pastor Ross. First of all, this is not my question, but I want to ask this anyway. When is the Cosmic Conflict Part 2 is going to come out? Because I received the first one through Jason Morgan, who had that crusade here in New Mexico last year, and it was really, really great. And I'm looking forward to the
part two. Yes, I can tell you right now, we've recorded 90% of part two. It's been very exciting. This is just light years ahead, and it's longer too. Where part one was about 45 minutes, this one we've gone all over the world getting footage, or I shouldn't say all over the world, but around Europe anyway. And it's got the two women in Revelation. The name of it, Cosmic Conflict 2, is sort of the working title, but it's called Revelation, History's Hidden Mysteries. And it's, I think, February they'll be done with the post-production, and it should be available then. That's our target right now, but it's going to be really good. Going to help people understand the great apostasy and the great reformation.
I'm looking forward to that, Pastor Doug. But anyway, to my question now.
Yeah.
In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5, it says, "For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even the memory of them is forgotten."
Yes.
And verse 6 says, "Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have part in the in anything that happens under the sun."
Right.
But in Revelation 6, verse 10, it says, the martyrs said, they called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?"
Mm-hmm.
So how could they
how can souls be under the altar if they're sleeping? And how can they be crying out and talking to God, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, Revelation is full of symbolism. Revelation talks, of course, about a dragon with seven heads and ten horns. By the way, on the Cosmic Conflict 2, we actually created a seven-headed dragon with ten horns, and it's three-dimensional. It looks very real. But that's obviously a symbol of something in Revelation. When it talks about souls under the altar, we have to ask, are there really saved souls that are under an altar crying in heaven? That wouldn't be a very blissful experience. And they're crying and moaning, "How long, O Lord?" They seem to be in a very melancholy state. Or is that really a symbol of these people who have been martyred for Christ? Their blood is crying out for justice. Just like when Abel died there in Genesis, God said, "The blood," he said to Cain, "the blood of your brother Abel cries to me from the ground." Well, you know, the little blood cells were not screaming at God. It's just a figure that justice was crying out to be for vengeance. And that's what's happening here. It's these souls are basically those who were martyred for the sake of Christ. They're saying their record is really calling out how long before we're avenged. And God is saying rest a little longer. So there he goes on to say, really, you're going to rest. And so it's just a metaphor for justice waiting to be vindicated.
I got you. Thank you so very much, Pastor Doug.
Absolutely. We're thankful that you called in, Risen. And God bless. And you keep watching. You'll see the Cosmic Conflict 2 coming out pretty soon.
We have a website dedicated to the subject of what the Bible says about death. And I believe this specific passage is dealt with at the website. The website is called truthaboutdeath.com, www.truthaboutdeath.com. We also have a study guide entitled, Are the Dead Really Dead? And we'll send that to you for free if you call our resource line. The number is 800-835-6747. Ask for the study guide on the subject of death, the truth about death. Our next caller is Richard, and he is listening in Canada. Richard, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Evening. And your question?
I recently received your magazine, A Day Lost in History.
Uh-huh.
And it piqued my interest because you seem to be teaching that the Sabbath is what we should be worshiping on.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, we believe that the Ten Commandments, we're not saved by keeping any of the commandments, but we believe the Ten Commandments are still ten, they're not nine, and that the commandment about the Sabbath is still one of God's Ten Commandments. And the seventh-day Sabbath is not part of the ceremonial law like the Jewish feast days and those annual Sabbaths that were really nailed to the cross. It's something that began at creation and goes on through, it even says in Isaiah, the new earth. So, God said, remember to keep the Sabbath day holy. We think that he knew we might be inclined to forget, and that's what's happened with many churches. They've forgotten about the Sabbath and keeping it holy.
Yes, and the Puritans in England and them worshipped on the Sunday, the first day of the week. And we continued that till today.
Yeah, you know,
God bless them.
Oh, absolutely.
They worship them one day a week.
I'm listening to a sermon. It's actually a book by a Puritan author in my car right now. Just an incredible. And he talks about the Sabbath. They kept the Sabbath very carefully, but they kept the wrong day. They kept the first day. And I'm sure God blessed them because they did it in sincerity. And there's a lot of dear Christians that are keeping the wrong day as the Sabbath. There are people that are celebrating the birth of Jesus on December 25th, but I think most of us know he wasn't born on December 25th. If a person wants to keep the Sabbath day on the seventh day, the way God says it should be done, that's not the first day of the week when he rose. It's what we would call Saturday, the same day the Jews still keep today. There's no commandment in the Bible to keep holy the first day of the week. The church started doing that through tradition as a compromise with the pagans in Rome hundreds of years after Christ. And so we are Seventh-day Sabbath keepers, and as are a lot of other Christians out there.
Mm-hmm. We have a website dedicated to this subject as well. It's called sabbathtruth.com. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to encourage Richard, if you take a look at that website, and anyone wanting to learn more about this important subject, it's just sabbathtruth.com. And there's tons of scriptures there to read and study. And there's actually videos you can watch dealing with the subject, sabbathtruth.com.
You know, we're very excited about that site because when you search on Yahoo or Google and you type in a word like Sabbath or Sabbath day, there'll be 91 million possible sites you could go to. And they'll rank on the page the importance of the sites, the value of the sites, or how many people visit the sites based on what page it is, if it's the 10th page or the first page. This website is usually the second website when you search the subject of the Sabbath on Google because it's got all the information at one place. And so we recommend it, friends. Sabbath Truth, lots of other people are using it. Sabbathtruth.com has a history. How do you keep the Sabbath? You know, what were the efforts to change it through history? It's an important truth that a lot of Christians are rediscovering, and we need that rest. We need that blessing that God's put into the Sabbath.
Our next call is Heidi.
Thank you, Richard.
And she is listening in North Highlands, California. Heidi, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
Okay, I'm calling because we have, there's two lesbians in our church, and they've been going to our church for maybe 25 years or more. And I keep getting the feeling that the Holy Spirit is, like, telling me to say something. But then there's other people in the church that try to, that are telling me if I say something, then I'm, I guess kind of like being a hypocrite because if my life isn't perfect, I shouldn't say anything, and I'm not sure of what to do because I
feel... Now, if you've got if you've got two people in a church, whether they're lesbians or homosexuals, and they're openly acknowledging that they're practicing that lifestyle, people may struggle with tendencies and be, you know, Christians in good standing. Everyone is tempted. That's different. But when a person basically embraces a sin and says, look, I want everyone to accept it, when the Bible clearly condemns it, I would hope that the pastors and the leaders in that church would counsel with these individuals and say, now you realize this lifestyle that you're putting forward, the Bible says that it's wrong, that it's a perversion of God's plan.
Okay, so I should be able to talk to my pastor about it then?
The best thing would be for you first to just visit with the pastor and you know, make sure that he's aware. He may be already counseling and talking to them, and so so you don't double up on people that could be, you know, dealing with an issue. And then again, you may feel impressed to go to them alone. There's scripture for that too. And just approach them and say, you know, do I misunderstand, but do you guys think that this kind of relationship is something that God approves of? And it's pretty clear, but, you know, we've got Romans chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. And they do not retain the knowledge of God, or God in their knowledge. And it just is very clear when you read through the writings of the New Testament and even the Old Testament that the strongest possible terms are used to condemn and forbid a practicing a homosexual lifestyle.
Okay. Thank you very, very much.
Yep, absolutely. You know, we have a book that we don't mention often, but I think we still carry it. And it just talks about the challenge in our age. You know, the gay community is just clamoring for acceptance on every front, and they want it to be normalized, and it's grandstanded in television. And it's called Return to Sodom, and by Gary Gibbs. And I think if we still carry that, we'll send you a free copy, Heidi. It's called Return to Sodom.
The number to call is 800-835-6747, and the book is entitled Return to Sodom. Again, that number is 800-835-6747. Our next call is Karen, and he is listening from Detroit, Michigan. Karen, welcome to the program.
Welcome. Thank you so much for taking my call, and happy holiday.
Likewise.
Thank you. I'm new in the Word. I recently finished a master's program, so now I'm thirsting for religion, and I'm just like trying to find my way. And I remember reading a passage in the book of Psalms that said about, and I don't remember the exact number, but it says, if your mother and father forsake you, I'm all that you need. But yet, I know that parents often say, honor thy mother and thy father, so that thy days might be long. But if you have a mom and dad that is not seeking God or not in the Word, God won't condemn you, will he, if you choose not to associate in a toxic relationship.
Right. I think the verse you're talking about is Psalm 27, verse 10. When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up.
Yes.
And I used to claim that verse myself because my mother and father weren't very excited when I became a Christian and thought that I'd gone off my rocker. And I said, well, you know, I'm just going to have to let our Father in heaven adopt me. Now, the Bible says, honor your parents in the Lord. You know, as far as you can show respect and honor to your parents, you should, always.
Yeah.
They may ask you to engage in conversation or behavior that is against your principles, and you're going to have to respectfully disagree with them and say, you know, Mom, Dad, while I love you, I can't participate in that.
Yes.
And I know, you know, my mom once asked me to lie about my age when I went to a movie so she'd get a lower rate, and that always bothered me. And I think I did back then, but, you know, later in my life when my mother or father would ask me to fudge on the truth and say, well, everyone does it, I said, well, you know, I can't do that as a Christian now. It's, even if it is a small thing, it's either true or it's false. And I wasn't disrespecting them. You know,
right.
If your parents tell you to go rob a bank, you can say, look, I love and respect you, but I'm not going to do that. And right. So honor your parents in the Lord, as long as it's in agreement with the principles of God.
Right.
So does that help?
What if it's adversarial, where it's keeping you from being who God wants you to be as a person? Because I think we all aspire to be better people and to be Christ-like as far as not arguing.
You know what I would do? If you need to do that, you might write your mom and or dad a letter and say, you know, Mom, Dad, I love you and I respect you, but right now I hope you'll understand I need a break in our relationship for a while. And you don't want to ever write them off forever because people change. But there's nothing wrong with, if they're just leading you the wrong way, and if you do nothing but fight when you're together, then
yes.
You write them a nice, a kind, loving letter and say, I hope you'll understand. I love and respect you, but, you know, I need to have a little space, and I want to give you some space. And take some time and see if their hearts soften, and maybe things will be better.
You've been there, done that in the 80s. That's why, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay, and so, one other thing about fasting.
Sure.
I'm not sure as to how do you fast and incorporate prayer, because I'm new, like I said, I'm new to the prayer experience. So is there something in the Bible, or is there a book that you can suggest where people that are new in the Word would know how to fast and to pray at the same time simultaneously?
Well, first of all, the book we're offering tonight would be perfect for you, and it's called Teach Us to Pray. And are you able to easily access the internet?
Sometimes.
Well, I've got a website. When I say I've got a website, I've got a sermon on the Amazing Facts website, and it's called When You Fast, and
okay.
It deals with fasting. It's got a lot more information than I can give you in 30 seconds. And so anyone out there, if you've got questions on fasting, you can go to the website, amazingfacts.org, and look under the sermon archives and just type in When You Fast. And, you know, Jesus didn't say if you fast. He said when you fast, mm-hmm. assuming that people would. And so that's a good question. Fasting and prayer, how do you do that? And there's a lot of different ways. Very quickly, you can do a fast where you don't eat any food. You should still drink water. You can fast from certain foods. You can fast one meal a day. There are a number of ways. And you're giving yourself more to the feeding of the spirit than the body and keeping your head clear. And it just really makes you think about spiritual things more. Hey, thank you for your questions, Karen, and bless you in your new walk with the Lord.
Our next caller is Eric, and he's listening in Michigan. Eric, welcome to the program. Eric in Michigan.
Hello.
Hi.
Am I on the air?
Yeah, actually Minnesota, but that's all right. The question I have is, what should a Christian do when they suspect that there's an evil presence in their home or a spirit? And does the Bible offer any guidance or instruction on that?
Well, I don't think that evil spirits find a lot of entertainment in possessing 2x4s and sheetrock. I think that there may be spirits that will harass a person, and it's not really a house that's haunted. Devils don't care about spooking up a building with no one there. They care about harassing people. And so if you're, you know, being yep. harassed by a devil, and it may happen, or it may seem like it happens more one place than another, I think the answer is just in the name of the Lord, pray, surrender yourself to God, ask him to take it away. And I know this may sound strange, but I would say, so what? And what I mean by that is I used to be afraid about the devil, you know, spooking me here and there and things going bump in the night. And finally it occurred to me, why am I letting that bother me? I already know there's a devil. I believe in God, and I believe there's a devil. And so when those things happen, I just got where I ignored it.
Sure.
And you know what? The devil seemed to lose interest because it didn't bother me anymore, and they lost interest. And once a Christian knows that
sure.
the devil's out there,
the reaction.
Yeah, just I believe that there are devils, and I believe that they try to distract you and cause all kinds of problems. And I just said, look, I'm going to keep my attention on God, and I'm not going to get spooked every time the devil wants to spook me.
Sure. Is there anything in the Bible? You know, I did some reading just last night and opened up my book and read aloud. And, you know, I've heard other
yes.
On the radio other times they said, you know, these things hate, you know, the Word of God. They hate
they
the music of God, all these different things. And
perfect.
I don't know if there's a specific spot. I just kind of followed my heart.
Yes, read.
And it led me to a verse.
The music of God, you know, it says that when Saul was tormented by an evil spirit. David would play this heavenly music, and the evil spirits would leave him. So Christian music, the other thing is reading the Word of God, and then prayer. And then our former caller, Karen, was asking about fasting. One time, this disciples couldn't cast this evil spirit out of a boy. Jesus said this kind only comes out through fasting and prayer. So you might spend some time in fasting and prayer and just ask the Lord to stifle those devils that are doing that and send his angels in the house. Good angels.
Yeah, I did ask for the angels too, so I could sense them. So anyway, all right.
Good question.
Well, thanks a lot. That's
yeah,
great.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Eric. And by the way, we do have a website. People wonder about ghosts, and we have a new website out there that deals with some of those issues, and it's called ghosttruth.com, ghosttruth.com.
We have Jim, who's listening in Tennessee. Jim, welcome to the program.
How are you doing tonight?
Doing well. How can we help you?
I was wondering, in Jesus, and you know, at the Last Supper, he said, at least you eat my body and drink my blood. What did he mean by that?
Well, he was using, when he said his body, he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. His life was the embodiment of God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus is God incarnate. God came into human form, and everything he said and everything he did, God was living out his life in a human form. And so he said, when you eat my flesh, what he meant by that was, I'm that bread that came down from heaven. My words are the bread of life. And when he said, drink my blood, he's not, you know, telling us to resort to being either vampires or cannibals. He's just basically saying, take my word, take my teaching into your life and receive it.
You know, it's in John chapter 6 where Jesus said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in yourself. In chapter 60 of John 6, the disciples said, the disciples said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? So even the disciples were puzzled as to what Jesus meant when he said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Then in response to that, Jesus said in verse 63, and I think this is the point that Pastor Doug, you're making, Jesus said, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus explained what he meant by the words that he speaks. That's what's symbolized by his flesh.
Perfect. Yeah, it's really all about the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that helps a little bit, Jim. And
that helped a lot.
Great. Well, we've got a book we'll be happy to send you, and it's called The High Cost of the Cross, and it talks a little bit about these issues.
The number to call is 800-835-6747, and the book, again, is entitled The High Cost of the Cross. Call and ask for it. We'll be happy to send it to you. We have Brandon, who is listening in Michigan. Brandon, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi, and your question. Yes, you're on.
All right. My question was, I was asking you, I heard you guys said earlier on the radio about the devil was the ruler of the earth.
Uh-huh.
My kids heard it, and it was like, they said, no, Dad, that ain't right, is it? I just wanted to get some more info about it.
Well, you can read in John chapter 12:31, Jesus is speaking, and he said, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. John 14, verse 30, Jesus is speaking again. He said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes, and he has nothing in me. And then you can look in John 16, verse 11. He says, he's also of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you'll see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. You know, even the devil said to Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, you know, I'm the king of the world, I'll give you the world. So Satan really kidnapped this planet like a hijacker does a plane. And Jesus redeemed it back at the cross. So the world does belong to the Lord. God says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. But the people in the world, most of them are sinners. They're on the broad road to destruction, and they're being controlled by the devil. And so that's really what that's talking about, Brandon. And hope it didn't mean to confuse anyone. I don't want to understate the power of Christ, but Jesus recognized that the devil has taken possession of most of the people and places in this world. And it's only through Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Again, we'd like to remind anyone wanting to learn more about the subject to call and ask for the study guide, Did God Create a Devil? Mm-hmm. The number to call is 800-835-6747, and the study guide again is Did God Create a Devil? You can also go to the Amazing Facts website, amazingfacts.org, and if you type in the search box at the website, just type in there, Did God Create a Devil? You can actually read the study guide for free online.
Mm-hmm. I even think about in the Lord's Prayer when we say, Thy kingdom come. Why would we pray, Thy kingdom come, except it's not here right now? There's another king that's contesting the kingdom of God. But friends, Jesus, the King of Kings, He's going to be victorious in the end. You can probably tell we've about run out of time, but in the last couple seconds, amazingfacts.org. We'd love to hear from you. You can keep us on the air by making a donation. Just click donate, contact us, let us know. God bless. We'll talk again next week.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program and join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. Hello, friends. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Bible Answers Live. Amazing Facts believes strongly in the Great Commission given by Christ to share the wonderful news of salvation to the entire world. For over 45 years, Amazing Facts has provided millions of resources to people around the globe. We've built churches in India, held revivals in Colombia, and have given over 2 million free Bible studies in the United States alone. The offer mentioned in the program today will be sent to you absolutely free to assist you in your study of the Bible. Have you missed an episode? Well, visit our website at amazingfacts.org for the latest programs and past episodes. These programs are brought to you by caring individuals like you. They're known as our ministry partners. Please consider joining our ministry partners team. Your financial commitment will help us keep programs like this on the air so that the blessing you now receive can be shared with others. Friends, the most amazing fact of all is that God loves us, He cares for us, and He has a plan for your life. If you've missed any of our programs and would like to become a financial partner, please go to our website at amazingfacts.org. If this program has blessed you, then tell a friend. And thanks for joining our efforts today in sharing the gospel with the world.
Journey back through time to the center of the universe. Discover how a perfect angel transformed into Satan, the arch-villain. The birth of evil, a rebellion in heaven, a mutiny that moved to earth. Behold the creation of a beautiful new planet and the first humans. Witness the temptation in Eden. Discover God's amazing plan to save His children. This is a story that involves every life on earth. Every life. The cosmic conflict. If God is good, if God is all-powerful, if God is love, then what went wrong? Available now on DVD. CosmicConflict.com.
You probably had this book in your house when you were born, but you never read it cover to cover. But today, as you watch the news, you start to wonder if that old Bible filled with prophecies of the future holds true. Where do you begin? How do you unlock Bible prophecy? Introducing the Amazing Facts Prophecy Study Bible, filled with a 27-part study guide system used by 5 million students. The Amazing Facts Prophecy Study Bible, now available at afbookstore.com. afbookstore.com, home of life-changing Christian resources.